Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, welcome back to the show. And delighted that you are with us. An enjoyable first hour with Don and Tim. Christy Chirinos joins us now. Christy from the University of Miami and always on our pregame show as well. And Christy, welcome to the hotline. How are you tonight?
Hello, hello, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you.
Let's start with this. Cam Ward leads the nation, 36 touchdown passes. 4,123 passing yards, 4 rushing touchdowns, and caught one going to New York on Saturday for the Heisman. What has been your perspective covering him this year? What's he been like for you?
Well, I don't think it's any kind of breaking news to anybody who's watched his post-game interviews or, you know, any of his media availabilities all season. He is an absolute joy to cover. He really, really has been. He's been incredibly gracious with his time, and there are a lot of people who've asked for a lot of time, and you know, he has tried to do his best. And, you know, when you sit down and you chat with him, you know, you realize just how much he loves this game and how much he has embraced being a Miami Hurricane and being a part of this program. And, you know, I was listening to the segment you all did, you know, last segment or two segments ago with Tim, and just talking about the Cal game. And you think about all the fun moments he gave us this year. You know, if you're a Miami fan or a supporter of the program, it has just been so much fun to have a front row seat to his season, to the season this team put together. And, you know, how can you not be rooting for him Saturday with, you know, his incredible story of, you know, starting as a zero star player and now going to New York as a Heisman finalist. It's just been a great, great magical ride.
Chris, is there something that you can share with us, because you are in the building a ton and that's where you are all the time, and you see other things that other people don't see. Is there something that he has done or some magic that he has that is not just seen on Saturdays for the 60 minutes of football? What else has he brought into that building?
Well, one of the things I loved is a couple of weeks ago, I was working on a women's basketball piece on Jasmine Roberts for our magazine, and I'm scrolling through all of the pictures from their media day, and there were photos of her and videos of her doing the CAM Ward celebration. And so I asked her about that, and I said, you know, where did this come from? And she just said, you know, when he seeing what he has brought to all of us, seeing what that team has brought to all of us, you know, when they do well, we all do well. And if you watch, you know, so many people across the department, athletes across the department have embraced that. And, you know, I just the other night I was at like an event at my kid's school, and when, you know, the kids know what I do for a living, they saw me walk in and they start doing the CAM Ward celebration at me. And I just, you know, I think he's just brought joy. I think he's brought joy to the building. I think he's brought a lot of fun to the building. You know, and that's something that the other student athletes in other sports have noticed, which has just been so, so great to see.
Christy, along those lines, everybody always talks about culture in a program, and Coach Cristobal has changed the culture in football. And along those lines, the other players in football that you've had, that you've been able to profile this year, what are some of the things that have stood out about the football players and the profiles that you've been able to research and then be able to write and present to Hurricane fans? What have those profiles been like, and what has it been like with those players?
Well, I think that's you talk about the culture, and you talk about, you know, wanting good young people in your program. Miami has a ton of good young people in its program. You know, I had the opportunity the week of Thanksgiving to chat with Cam McCormick and his mom about his incredible journey. I mean, you think about the emotions he must have felt, you know, going onto that field at Syracuse, knowing after an incredible career like that he has endured so much, that was going to be his last regular season game. And, you know, I thought it was interesting that that young man has gone through serious injuries and surgeries and rhabdomyolysis, and he said, I would never have changed any of it for the world. It made me who I am. And again, that's another young man you can't help but root for. You think about Xavier Restrepo, his journey, you know, the kid who dreamt of playing at Miami, dreamt of wearing orange and green, comes in and becomes Miami's all-time leading receiver. You know, those stories, those journeys, you know, it's so incredible to get to know them, to get to share them. And, you know, I think those are two that really, really stuck out for me. And, you know, that's, again, good people, good culture, and I think that that's what you're seeing with what Coach Cristobal is building.
When I'm there, you know, one thing that amazes me, Christy, is one thing, for example, is Coach Cristobal's leadership council and how much time he invests in those young men and the amount of effort that he spends teaching them to be the future leaders of America. Is there another thing that you see or you come across that maybe isn't recognized enough or talked enough about Coach Cristobal and how he impacts these young men?
Well, I think about you go back, you know, mid-season with this, and I can't remember if we were 6-0 at that point or 7-0 at that point, but that leadership council was not happy with how they met. And they brought the team in, and they had a conversation, players-only meeting. And usually when you hear about those, that's because the team's not playing well. Things are not going well. Well, this was a team that recognized, guys, we can be better than what we're showing. And again, that is a testament to the leadership, the culture. I think about the way this team and that program rallied around Mark Fletcher when his father passed away. Yep. You know, it was important for Mark to play in that game against Florida State 2 days after losing his dad. And it was important for that team to be there for him all the way through, and they continue to be there for him. You know, when you speak to him and have the opportunity, he says, you know, my brothers have been the ones picking me up. And that whole team was there for Mark Senior's funeral and things like that. So those are, again, are things maybe you don't see outside the building, but are what have changed this program. You know, the focus on academics, the way the GPAs have been raised and the records they've broken in the classroom, all of those things come together. All of those are a testament to culture, and all of that is part of the growth that you've seen at Miami over the course of the last 3 years.
Christy, away from football, I know you are going to have a profile or working on a profile on women's basketball. They're going to open up their ACC season on Sunday at Pittsburgh. This is wild, yep. Actually. They're going to play at Pittsburgh, and then they're going to go to Hawaii. Yeah. Go to the Maui Classic in Hawaii before coming back home on December something or another. Eventually be home on December 29th to play North Carolina. But they're going Pittsburgh, Hawaii, back home. And tell us about your profile on the women's basketball team.
Well, I kind of had a good laugh with the student-athlete I'm profiling because her name is Cameron. And we kind of joked around that there are quite a few Camerons running around the Miami Athletic Department right now. So we're going to go from writing about Cam Ward and Cam McCormick to Cameron Williams. And, you know, she's one of the things that I think has been so fascinating watching that team start is new coach, new faces all across the roster. And they started the season 8-1. You know, and they're in a good spot as they're getting ready to start ACC play. And again, that's a testament to the culture Coach Culp is trying to build. You know, that there's been a lot of team bonding activities, a lot of things in the off season to build that team chemistry, and, you know, so far so good. And so getting to know Cameron has been fun. And, you know, obviously she comes from a basketball family. Her dad, Aaron Williams, played in the league, you know, on and off for, I think it was 14, 15 years, grew up, you know, her brother is playing collegiately. Her sister played college volleyball. So a very athletic family, lots of competition. And, you know, looking forward to sharing her story as the team gets ready to open ACC play, like you said, on Sunday.
Kristen, what would you say if someone asked you to describe the impact that college athletics has? It doesn't matter the sport, on the student athlete.
I think it's one of the things, and it's one of my favorite parts of the job, is you watch them come in as freshmen, and some of them are still trying to find their footing, and, you know, they're a little nervous in interviews, and by the time they leave, they're these incredibly polished young people who, you know, I know we've talked about it on the show, the pregame show, you know, the community service impact that these student athletes have, the activities they go out and do, and the way that so many of them are so involved beyond their sport, you really watch them grow up in those 4 or 5 years they're on campus. And it has just been, it's one of my favorite things. You know, commencement is tomorrow, and you're going to see pictures of student athletes in their caps and gowns. And I always tweet, those are my favorite days of the year, because, you know, that is what makes this journey special. These kids come in, you know, freshly minted college students just right out of high school, and they leave as young people ready to start their next journeys and their next chapters. And watching that process happen, I think, is what makes college athletics and this journey so special.
All right, Christy, how's our little man doing? Good?
He is doing well. He's actually downstairs finishing some homework. I had to tell him that he wanted to come on and say hello, and I was like, guys,
wow.
I don't know
no?
if we can do that.
You're the mean mom. You said no, he can't come on the show?
I told him he had to finish his homework, so I guess maybe I am the mean mom.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Christy, I hate to tell you, if you're upstairs and he's downstairs, he's not doing his homework.
Yeah. He's on his phone.
I'm pretty sure he's found a radio somewhere and is listening, or he's playing with the dog or the cat. Something like that is happening.
He's watching the Knicks and the Hawks.
There you go.
If he is, I will say, I'll give him credit. He's doing it quietly because I don't hear the TV down there.
All right. Well, you guys have a great holiday. And
you too.
We'll see you on campus or in Orlando.
We will. We'll definitely be in Orlando, and I'm sure we will see you before that on campus. But, yes, you guys have a wonderful holiday. And, you know, Joe, I can't wait to hear all about all of the wedding plans over the course of the next year. Tell Haley if she needs anything. Here to help her out. And it's a fun time. I know you all will enjoy it.
Countdown is on. 1 year.
There you go.
All right, Christy, thank you.
You Christy, got it. Thanks, guys.
Christy right. Chirinos, University of Miami, with us. Does a very nice job on our pregame show with our a different perspective. You know, does all the profiles. I think that's important. Yet it's not always about the X's and O's. They are, you know, human beings. So Christy has a great ability to be able to present those stories, those human element stories, and does a great job at it.
She really does, Joe. She's been always a professional, and my favorite part about her is that, you know, her love of the student athlete and her approach on and how she addresses everything that she's asked to, but she really cares about the student athlete.
Okay, we got a couple more things to talk about in our next segment. One of which is not drones, but you have any drones flying over your house? You see the stories?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Have you seen the story? These drones are flying all over New Jersey and Pennsylvania. They look like spaceships.
No, I haven't. I haven't had one of those that I've been aware of.
I figured if they're going to show up anywhere, it'd come right up over your top of your seawall, right on top of your house.
Yeah, that would. I hope not, Joe. I hope not. Don't start that. Priscilla, start looking out the window.
None here in Davie. I'm not at the station tonight. We're working home tonight after this past weekend.
We got to get you well, buddy.
Oh boy, yeah, that was rough. Okay, we got more to talk about with DBJ. It's the holiday season. I'm driving a Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac. It's called the XT4. The XT4 is a driver pleaser. It's always ready to tackle any task you have, whether it's grocery shopping or daily commuting. The XT4 is always going to meet a wide array of needs and desires. The XT4 delivers the wow factor. Everybody uses the word wow, but it's not underrated when you talk about the XT4. It's turbocharged, got great acceleration, fuel efficiency. It surpasses all the expectations. The XT4 is going to check every box that you want. It's quiet. It's smooth. It always delivers. It's a one-of-a-kind SUV. And a one-of-a-kind dealership, of course, is Williamson Cadillac. They're one-of-a-kind because they've built their client base by being loyal. They're always focused on one thing, treating their clients like family. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife, Carol, Jeff Rogers, the general manager, they will make sure you are taken care of without any problems at all. You want to enjoy world-class customer service? Go to the place where they do it every single day, day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. 50 years they've been doing this at Williamson Cadillac. Go online, check out all the inventory online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. 2 weeks to go, 2 weeks from Christmas Day. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the all-new electric Lyriq, all at Williamson Cadillac right there, right now. Go see Jermaine Chambers, former University of Miami wide receiver, Ed's right-hand man. He'll get you in one of those vehicles, and you will have a super holiday. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, thanks to Tim Reynolds, Christy Chirinos for joining us on the show. All right, Don. So I look at this bracket. I see Clemson's a 12 seed. SMU is an 11 seed. So the ACC is happy to get two teams in. That's behind the SEC, which gets Texas, Tennessee, Georgia, three, right? So they get three. Then the Big Ten comes in with Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana, and Oregon. They get four. The ACC gets two, and they're the last two seeds. So the question they need to ask themselves is, how do they get more respect? And I'm not sure what the answer to that is, other than, there you go. What do you think the answer is? How do they get more respect?
I think their answer is going to be, let's add more teams.
Their answer might be add more teams.
Yeah.
My answer might be get rid of some teams. But I think they've got – okay, on one hand, you know, this guy Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl, he came out, he threw his, I don't know if you saw his comment, he threw his two cents in there about the SEC, the quality of player in the draft, and, you know, the SEC. But what he's failed to mention is, in fairness to the ACC, off the top of my head, I would bet in 5 of the last 7 years, the ACC has had the second most players drafted behind the SEC. So ACC gets, I think, very good athletes. Not the same quality as the SEC and not as many. Where they really struggle is in the love of football. You look at the championship game. There are empty seats everywhere. And that gets you to people thinking to themselves, okay, yeah, sure. They put that game in Charlotte. They're always going to want a team close by Charlotte to be in that game. They're always going to try to favor a Carolina team or a Clemson or somebody close by to fill the damn stadium. Maybe they should move it to the site of the team with the best record and forget about trying to put it in Charlotte in an NFL stadium. And then they've got the other schools and that don't draw great. Now, I know people are going to say, you're throwing stones about attendance. Miami's attendance is far better than Wake Forest or Virginia or places like that. And it's not, those places just aren't attractive to play.
Well, I would go to the venue is you really create, you're right. They would prefer a North Carolina team or a team, like you say, Clemson from South Carolina, if the championship game is in Charlotte. And why would you not treat it as a home game for the highest ranked team? If it was Miami, let them come here and let the fans travel, their fans, because the reason there's so many empty seats is there's not that many neutral fans. You know, that's the other side of it. I mean, it really turns into an away game for both teams. And whether it's the team itself that they have to travel and prepare. And, you know, the answer may be let it be the highest ranking team's home game. And then you would see certainly far more attendance, in my opinion.
No question about that. Now, I understand they want to be in a big stadium, much like the SEC or Big 12. In addition, they made a deal with Charlotte as their home base. So I imagine part of that deal was providing the city of Charlotte with X amount of championship events. But you could have shot a cannon through the upper deck there the other night.
Well, am I right or this, Joe? I think that game, the ACC championship game, was it the only one that was outdoors? Wasn't everybody else in a dome?
I think you're right.
I think if you go to, I mean, that's another element that you're fighting attendance wise. That time of year, first week of December, you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, even the Big Ten, they moved Indianapolis for their deal. Let's say the 12 was in the Cowboys Stadium, and then you had the Southeastern Conference was in Atlanta. I think it was the only venue that was outside.
Yeah. And well, Boise, but I mean, you're right, because Boise was at home. Along those lines, if it was Miami and SMU in that championship game, now, I'm certain that Miami fans would travel, but they're not going to fill that stadium.
No.
You know, they're going to 25,000. And Miami, and that's not just from South Florida. That's coming from everywhere, like we've seen. There are Miami fans everywhere, but they're not filling a 70,000-seat stadium. And SMU, I don't know what they brought, but I don't think it was a whole hell of a lot.
No. And it's the team with the best record, the team that's highest ranked, let them be quote unquote the home team, let them have it at their stadium. I still say, you know, for a lot of folks, it's a tougher time of year to get things going. You're just getting off of Thanksgiving. You've got Christmas right around the corner and you're trying to travel, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge, but I know how the Atlantic Coast Conference feels about the University of Miami
in certain areas, and I don't know that it's ever going to change, Joe. I think they want everything to be right there in North Carolina.
Yeah, I think they love – I think their problem has been they've tried to make – you know, if you look back, Miami went into the conference. Florida State probably feels this. They felt that they got it backwards. The teams like Miami and Florida State were going to raise up the bottom of their league, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I say, I'm sorry, there's a price for doing business. Miami and Florida State and Clemson and Virginia Tech, you need those teams, those four, to be great. And I don't care about the rest of them. You don't need to make Miami like Duke. People aren't tuning out or tuning in for Duke football. I apologize, man. You had a great season. They tune in for Duke basketball, but they want to see Miami football. And until the conference understands that, I don't think they're going to be taken seriously.
Well, I don't disagree with you. And you talk about brand recognition. It does start with the University of Miami and the Atlantic Coast Conference. And you talk about the entire country. Wherever we go, people are interested in seeing the University of Miami play. And the numbers have proven that true, Joe, over the last 40 some odd years, that Miami is a team that attracts the most eyes on the television when they play. And the bigger the game that they play, the more people want to see it.
All right, let's give another shout out to the Orange Bowl. You're on the Orange Bowl committee. We love Eric Palms. That game is January the 9th. And so the possibilities are, let's see, Indiana Notre Dame winner plays Georgia at the Sugar Bowl. So the winner of the Sugar Bowl and the winner of the Fiesta Bowl will be at the Orange Bowl. So Georgia and Boise State are – Boise's at the – I have that right, yeah. Boise's at the Fiesta Bowl. They get Penn State or SMU. Georgia gets Notre Dame or Indiana at the Sugar Bowl. I think that's going to be Notre Dame. I think that's Notre Dame and Georgia at the Sugar Bowl. I think Penn State's going to beat SMU. That's a tall task for SMU to go to Penn State on December the 21st at noon. I don't know. That stage looked pretty big, like you said, for Kevin Jennings.
Yeah.
Boise and Penn State, I don't know. James Franklin's, like I mentioned before, he doesn't excite me too much, but I think they got a chance for a Georgia-Penn State game at the Orange Bowl.
You brought that up before, and I think that would be a great, great matchup. I mean, you're talking Big Ten, best of the Big Ten, and of course, well, not the best, but a playoff team from the Big Ten, and then, of course, you know, you're dealing with Georgia, who's been on a win streak for many, many, many years, and to have them come down and to have that matchup and to have them bring everybody that comes with them. But I think it's made for TV. You know, I really do. I think, and that's so important. But I think it would be fantastic for South Florida. I think it'd be fantastic for the Orange Bowl and their committee. And it's a no-lose, really. When you think about that semifinal, no matter who ends up there, it's going to be a big-time game.
Yeah. This other side of the bracket, you got Oregon and the Rose Bowl getting Ohio State or Tennessee. And I don't know if Ohio State is going to beat Tennessee. Ryan, that thing has gone bad for Ohio State. The karma is so bad for Ohio State that I don't know if they can get out of their way to beat Tennessee. Tennessee, I thought they were okay this year. I thought they were pretty good. That offense will drive you crazy because they line up so fast. But I don't think that offense is built for an 8 o'clock game in Ohio on December the 21st.
Well, I don't get it. I really don't get it. I understand because, believe me, we are a tough group of fans down here in South Florida. But for Ohio, when you think of Ohio State and how many games they've won and how many games, the record of their coach overall, and yes, I get it. You're supposed to beat Michigan if you're Ohio State, but they hadn't lost many other games other than to Michigan or to very, very high-ranked teams. So, you know, you talk about a fan base that's that great expectations and is a little spoiled. They make it tough to deal with. And Joe, how about Oregon coming in and being the only undefeated team and taking on and being the conference winner of their first year in a new conference and really taking the whole thing by storm? And I'm not afraid to say that, you know, Coach Lanning walked into as good a situation as you could walk into, thanks to our head coach here at the University of Miami, what was left by Mario Cristobal.
Well, he's going to get a pretty good challenge, but I think he's going to advance to the Cotton Bowl. And I don't know. I think that's going to be yet Clemson and Texas. I think the winner of that game beats Arizona State. Kenny Dillingham's done a nice job at Arizona State. Very good job. He's kind of a live wire. Now, Florida State fans are probably saying we let the wrong guy go. Because Dillingham was their offensive coordinator. He had a hell of a season with Arizona State. I don't know if Clemson can get by Texas. You think Clemson has a chance in that game?
Well, you know, first of all, I never thought Texas would lose twice to Georgia. I really didn't. So Texas to me is they've got all the talent in the world, but they're very unpredictable in the big game against the brand name opponent. And I'll tell you one thing I learned last weekend was I have a guy that I like to watch that I'm going to tune in on is the Arizona State running back.
Yeah,
Scatterboo kid. I mean, man, that guy's right up Don Bailey's alley. I mean, he'd be my first pick. I know I normally would say I'm picking a quarterback, but I'd be hard for me not to pick that guy. I mean, what he's done for that team and how he just wills his way to taking over a football game. He's just amazing to me.
It'd be funny if it was Oregon and Arizona State for the semifinal, a Pac-12, an old Pac-12 game. Can you imagine?
Yeah, they disbanded the Pac, and now the Pac, two Pac teams are fighting for the playoff spot.
Right. I do think they have to change this next season to make it more fan friendly. I think conference champions should be in. I thought conference champions. I think originally I thought they should get the bye, but I think the conference champions should be in, and then they should just seed it 1-12.
You know, I agree with you on your conference champions. I think if you want to qualify automatically, then become your conference champion. No questions asked. That's the best way to do it. Takes out everything. And then I think you reevaluate what's there. And I'm not necessarily a big fan of if you are not playing that weekend that you can't move up. Because things happen in football games that when you look at the whole body of work where if somebody wasn't in the championship game, that you should be able to move up a spot.
Eventually, what they're going to have to do is make this system – I don't know how they do it, but – maybe they'll never do it. I would just like to see voting and committees removed. Just come up with a system where we have this amount of teams go in, and here's how you qualify.
Yeah,
without,
but you know, Joe,
without voting.
they're winning because everybody in the country has been talking about college football for the last 2 weeks, and that's really what they want. It really is.
Did I mention to anybody that Clemson did not have one penalty in the game last week?
And that was, I believe, the first time since the 50s?
Yeah. Second time since the 50s. How about
second
that?
Time since the 50s. Okay. Yeah. Second time since the 50s. Yeah,
imagine if you're Rhett Lashley in that game, you go, really? Is that what you guys were doing? I mean, come on. You had to make it that obvious? No penalties? Zero?
rant. Rhett did a little ranting and raving on that line now.
Yeah, he was. Yes.
He got heated up a little bit.
He sure did. Yeah, he sure did. And rightfully so. What a season he had, though. And like you say, he puts together an offense now.
Oh, no. He's going to give every defense that he faces, no matter who it is, no matter what weather, no matter what part of the country, he's going to give you some things that are going to challenge any defense you put on the field. He can score his points. And, it's what Manny Diaz went and got a Rhett Lashley disciple and made him the offensive coordinator. And listen, they put together a 9-win season, and a lot of it had to do with that offense. I mean, especially being Coach Diaz as a defensive guy, but Joe, their quarterback transferred out.
You know why he transferred out?
I don't.
They just brought in the number one quarterback in the portal. They pushed them out. They brought in the kid from Tulane.
I'll be darned. Well, see? Yeah. Well, yep. They got that figured out. We're going to upgrade
the guy, he threw Murphy, who, as we saw, every pass was 100 miles an hour. The last play of the season was a touchdown pass, a walk-off touchdown against Wake Forest. And now he's out, and they got the kid from Tulane, who I don't know if he's the best quarterback in the portal, but that's what ESPN said. So they got the top ESPN portal player today after yesterday Murphy went out. But I'm pretty sure they probably said, hey, son, guess what? Nice to have you here. You need to go find another place to play.
Hey, Murph, we got to get somebody that's got a little touch.
Hey, Malik, I'm sorry. Murphy's Law just entered the equation.
That's correct. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Well, I'll tell you, it's University of Miami. Joe's going to have a big challenge in front of them. And I'll tell you what, though, they're going to be. It's going to be a one heck of a ball game. And I hope a bunch of University of Miami fans find their way up to Orlando on the 28th or turn it into a special weekend and hope the Canes can improve upon that 1-11 in the bowls.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it next week because hopefully by this time next week, we'll have a better idea who's playing because they got to start practicing here soon. They don't really have that much time.
No, we don't.
You got like 17 days. So really, it's a little longer than a bye week. And so we got to get a roster sorted out, a quarterback sorted out. And we'll have more of that information next week. We'll talk about Iowa State next week. And thanks for being with us. We'll reconvene on the show next week.
All right, Joseph, I'm glad you're feeling better. And it'll be 51 weeks in counting next week.
Yes, it will. Thank you.
All right, buddy. See you later.
All right. We'll come back and wrap up the show after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, Trevor Harris has been our producer tonight. Thanks to Christy Chirinos and Tim Reynolds and Don Bailey for joining us on the show. A reminder, coming up on Sunday, University of Miami basketball will be back in action. 2 o'clock against Presbyterian. We'll be on the air at 1:30. Things not going well right now. Miami's lost 7 in a row. 17 of the last 20 games going back the last season. That is painful to say. So we have 2 more non-conference games to go. Presbyterian, then Mount St. Mary before a holiday break, and then trying to right the ship going into ACC play, which begins on New Year's Day at Boston College and then continues the following Saturday, January the 4th, at Virginia Tech. Then home against Florida State. Miami already 0-1. In conference play and will begin on New Year's Day against Boston College. So the last three losses, there have been some signs of progress on both the defensive end and rebounding wise, some signs of progress there. Played pretty well against Tennessee last night. Had a 7-minute spot in the first half that pretty much took him out of the game. Made a run in the second half and then just played too fast and careless to erase an 18-point deficit. If anybody can fix it, it is Jim Larrañaga, and he will continue to try to sort it out and get the right combination on the floor. Their offensive efficiency has been pretty good, but defending and rebounding have been troublesome for sure. And then, of course, on December 28th, 3:30 from Camping World Stadium, we'll have the Pop-Tarts Bowl for you. I like my Pop-Tarts with frosting and strawberries. Miami and Iowa State, 3:30 kickoff will be on the air at 11:30 on December the 28th, Miami and Iowa State. Okay, thanks to Trevor Harris, Christy Chirinos, Tim Reynolds, and Don Bailey Jr. I'm Joe Zgacki. Thank you for joining us, and have a very pleasant good evening.